the last word on Today FM with Matt Cooper.
Let's talk about the trials and tribulations of the newest generation, the Zoomers or Gen Z. Born as the Twin Towers were falling, Generation Z is more plugged in and more politically active than other generations. They're also facing an increasingly uncertain future. Will they be the first generation not capable of owning their own home in Ireland? Will their jobs become obsolete? How damaged will their planet be? I'm delighted to say that I'm joined in studio now by three young people, three Zoomers, Zanazi Kyo, Rizwan Zahid and Amanda Adey. And thank you all very much for joining us. And we've got loads to talk about. And Zanazi, I might start with you. Let's talk about social media activism among young people today, because, you know, young people are more plugged in, as I say, than ever. And when you have movements like Black Lives Matter and things like that, you know, these are movements that seem to begin online and young people do seem to be very engaged with them. Why do you think that is?
Thank you for having us today, Frank. So I definitely think that Gen Z is the most politically active generation for our age. And you have to remember that the majority of us were born after 9/11, thrown into this world of conflict, division. We have climate change. And to combat this, we have a whole new world of technology that we're going to utilize to spread this activism. And so it's very important for us to be active, because these aren't just global concerns and issues. This is our future, our children's future, and this is our world. So it's very important for us to utilize this technology while we can and spread awareness on these issues.
Amanda Adey, you're the creative director of Black and Irish, and I might ask you specifically about this engagement online with movements like Black Lives Matter, because, you know, everyone got involved, young people particularly got involved, but is it enough to just, you know, blacken out your Instagram box or to put up a hashtag Black Lives Matter? Do you know, it's very easy to do those things, but is that activism being followed then in the offline world?
Yeah, I think that was one of the major things that kind of followed in through, I think from last year, from the protests and everything that happened there. I think the initial kind of energy that everyone felt, and the initial kind of, I think that the sense of togetherness almost, I think, or the excitement and the buzz around it, because that's what was trending at the time. I think a lot of people kind of got carried away and thought that, oh, that's going to translate into actual tangible change. But I think it was a couple of weeks later, like, we saw that it really wasn't enough. And that's where it kind of came into the territory now of, like, kind of calling out performative activism and, you know, taking things just beyond the, you know, the realms of social media and translating that now into actual change on the ground. And I think that's probably where the challenge lay for a lot of people, because, you know, they thought that they were involved on, in a sense, like, just, you know, on an online platform or whatever, that, you know, that was enough. But, you know, we quickly saw that it really wasn't. And again, I think with the same kind of energy that people, you know, picked up the mantle and ran with initially, I think people were very quickly able to suss that out and kind of check it there at the roots, and, you know, let people know that, you know, performative activism is not enough, and to actually make real change, you know, you need to take things beyond just posting a black square or a black tile on Instagram, and beyond just, you know, this hashtag activism culture, and, you know, taking things to the ground root and actually, you know, doing things on the ground that will actually make a difference for people and make a difference in people's lives.
Rizwan Zahid, you're the founder of Youth Takeover Charity. What are your thoughts in relation to that? Because it is relatively easy to set a trend online or to be seen engaging with a trend online. But how difficult is it then to step out of that and to have your voice heard as a young person?
I think a lot of people do assume, as you said, that they are very performative. So posting something isn't just going to get us actual change. But to get out of that realm, or even to get on the ground, it's going to be serious, and it's going to be difficult to even create the smallest of impacts. But I think that social media has the power of bringing people together. Even posting that black square, most people did think it was performative, but posting it, I think, raises awareness, which informs people, which therefore will make impact one way or another, some way or somehow.
Yeah.
In one, like, if someone let's say someone saw the black square, they would ask why. And then further on, there'll be more movements about it, protests about it. So I think there are small impacts that lead to bigger change.
And that's the nub of it, isn't it, Zanazi? You know, that it's very easy to jump on the bandwagon, but are young people actually educating and informing themselves on these really important global matters?
Well, I think cancel culture is definitely something big in our generation. People can jump on this bandwagon mm-hmm. of, oh, I'm going to share this post, or I'm going to hate on this person. And it's very easy to follow that bandwagon. But it's not necessarily, you know, the social justice that we are looking for. I mean, a prime example of, apart from the Black Lives Matter, is Greta Thunberg. She started off as one girl in Sweden protesting every Friday, and by the end of the year, in over 130 countries, there was climate change and school strikes. So definitely social media is something that we can utilize, but also the constant bombardment of these social issues can sometimes overwhelm social media users and almost desensitize us to these crises. And, you know, lots of people feel the pressure to share a social media post or to put in their opinion on a global issue or a global crisis without actually having that education and that knowledge on the topic. And, you know, that's where fake news plays in. Mm-hmm. And you have to be very careful about what you share and make sure that it is a reliable source.
Amanda, I see you nodding your head there, clearly in agreement. As a Zoomer, as young people in your generation, and sadly, I'm not one of them. But as you know, you guys, your whole lives have been spent living in social media bubbles. Mm. You know, like every, you know, I see like my little nephews, and every moment or every development in their life is being chronicled, like whether it's with a photograph or online. Mm-hmm. You know, how does that affect your development, your personal development? Would you spend a lot of time online? We did a piece earlier on body image and the dangers of social media when it comes to things like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, what pressures do you find as a young person constantly being plugged into all of that?
Oh, where to even start? There's honestly so many. And I think specifically because I think our generation are the first to kind of entirely almost grow up in this era of, you know, being so plugged into each other's lives and knowing what, you know, the ins and outs of what everyone's doing, or at least what they're willing to show online, at you know, mm-hmm. It has caused a lot of pressures. And sadly, I don't think we've even seen the full consequences of it just yet. I think I think in the long term, we'll really get the full grasp of just how, I won't even use the word damaging. I think it's been, in a sense, to kind of grow up with that pressure and grow up with, like Zana said, the constant bombardment of a lot of things, at the same time. I think, in the midst of the pressure, though, just to have, you know, a bit of light at the end of the tunnel, like as much as there are the negative aspects of social media, like the pressures that come with it, you know, the pressures of fake news, not knowing what to believe, and cancel culture and all of that, that, you know, that comes with the realm of social media. But I think one thing to also keep in mind is that as much as all that is there, there are still positives. And I think Zahid touched on there. Rizwan touched on things there. Something that, you know, there is a sense of togetherness. I think there is a sense of, you know, awareness that is raised from social media and being able to share things online. Because there is that community there, I think a lot of things spread faster mm-hmm. Within the generation, for good and bad, which is, you know,
yeah.
There's
a lot of hate online, but equally there's a lot of love.
Exactly.
And the most recent example that I can think of is you see all the love that the English footballers got, the footballers who missed penalties mm-hmm. in the Euros final.
100%.
I want to talk about climate change and you know, older generations. What state is the planet going to be when they hand it over to you guys? And I'm going to ask your thoughts on that, Rizwan. We mentioned Greta Thunberg earlier. She was the first global face of Gen Z. And it's no surprise that, you know, the main issue is climate change. Just this week, a report was published showing that towns and cities will be underwater in Ireland by 2015. Is this something that gives you pause for thought, cause for concern? You know, what is your country, your planet going to look like as you get older? What it's going to look like for your children if you have children? Is that something that concerns you?
100%. I feel like we all look forward to our futures and having that stability, I guess, to see if we'll even be able to have kids that that will be raised in such an environment that that they'll be able to live, basically. But like the environment we've been talking about, I guess, since Thunderbird came along, was since 2 years now, like the protest. But the little movements such as like stop using plastic straws and such things like that, I feel like they're making change, but not big enough change. Mm-hmm. There are small changes, but if we were to create bigger change, I feel like industries and corporations will need to take according to that. And that's where we actually come into play. Our boycotts and our social media and how we present them. Because I know their image relies as much as them to their money.
Yeah. Zanazi, I don't know if you'd agree with me, but, you know, young people seem to be kind of forgotten about during the pandemic. You know, more vulnerable elements of our society were rightly protected and sheltered, but young people are the first ones to lose their jobs, likely to be the last ones to get those jobs back, the last ones to be vaccinated. You know, how has lockdown been for you?
I think lockdown's been very difficult for everybody, especially in regards to our mental health. It has been extremely difficult in isolation, and I really feel for those who are in college. I know a lot of my friends, they're in their first year of college, and I say, oh, have you made any friends in college? Who are your friends? And they can only really name one. I mean, mm-hmm. How are you supposed to make friends in online classes? We were lucky enough as leaving certs to be able to go into school and still see our friends with our masks on. But it's been very tough. Like, we're supposed to be out going to music festivals. We're supposed to be having parties. And I feel like we are given a lot of the blame for COVID. As a younger generation, people kind of like to throw that blame onto us. But I'd like to say that most of the people I know have been very good. Like, you saw over the bank holiday weekend, it was, I think, 20,000 Gen Zs showed up to get vaccinated. We are listening to the guidelines. We have been very good and very patient. And it will have long lasting impacts on us, but I hope that it can bring us together as a community.
Yeah. Amanda, I hope you don't mind me revealing your age. 23 years of age, is that correct?
Yep.
Okay. So at 23 years of age, I was traveling, I was seeing the world, I was meeting my friends, I was having relationships, I was developing friendships, lifelong friendships. These are things that have been robbed of from you over the last 16 or 17 months. How has that affected you personally?
It's been really tough. It's been very, very tough. I think Zena touched on a lot of really good points there. I think I was, I want to say, one of the luckier ones, because I actually got to go through the first 3 years at least of college in somewhat of a normal environment.
And it's just not the same experience you're doing Zoom calls
exactly. And
you're not meeting friends for coffee, bashing 100%. Ideas around.
Yeah, definitely. So I think a lot of that was definitely taken away, especially for people going into college. I'm having these conversations a lot with a lot of my friends that are just getting into college. So I really, really do feel for a lot of people. It was tough, especially when you're kind of, because I'm just on the call, I just about made it into the Gen Z, into the Gen Z group. So, especially, you know, when you're kind of just about starting that life, you're just getting used to it. You're just getting, you know, starting to almost get a sense of yourself as an individual. And then all of a sudden, like, you know, that growth is kind of stunted. And now having like everything that you know transferred online, and now having to try find yourself within that, and trying to find, you know, just a way to kind of establish yourself as an individual now with all these other things to also think about now. It's been really tough, but I think, like Zana said again, I think a lot of our generation we've been patient, and we've kind of gone through it, like we've been
but troopers. Rizwan, your patience must have been tested, because at plenty of points throughout the last 16 or 17 months of the pandemic, young people have been blamed for spikes, blamed for house parties, blamed for getting together in large groups. How difficult is it to get all that finger pointing and that finger wagging from older generations?
It's not just us. I feel like we do get the blame. But then again, there are, like, in each generation, there are like people that will go out and not obey the guidelines. And why are we the ones getting it when we're the ones probably seen getting it? Because we're kids. But if you look at football matches or people going to the pub, you won't see adults getting the blame just because they're adults. So I feel like I am kind of sick and tired of getting pointed at. Although we are, like, we, as Anna said, we are being patient and we are trying our best. Mm. And there may be a few that do, like, disobey, but then we can't be just all blamed for some little people's mistakes.
Maybe. Yeah. Zanazi, you finished your Leaving Cert last year and you're 19 years of age. You've got your whole life ahead of you. This is a really important juncture in your life. How hopeful are you for your future when it comes to work, when it comes to owning your own home? Because many will say, with the way the market has gone and the lack of government intervention to a certain degree, that young people like you won't have the opportunity to own your own house.
Well, Frank, I do try to be optimistic. Like, I am trying to be optimistic. But at the end of the day, we can't deny the fact that we do have a housing crisis. I think the average rent in Dublin is about 2,000 euro, which is 500 euro a week. So if you're a university student, that's 500 euro a week. And if you're doing a minimum wage job, you'd have to work 50 hours a week, which just isn't possible as part time. And then you have the whole mortgage concerns as well. I think the average price of a house in Dublin is 400,000 euro, which is going to be an absolutely massive down payment when we can hardly afford our own rent. And then also, like you said, there has been climate change concerns. Like, I know my family is moving house. We are quite concerned because by 2050, I think they said Portmarnock, Swords, Howth, that could be underwater. So then we also have that concerns of, will I even be able to live in those areas, regardless of if I can afford them or not?
Mm. And what about jobs, Amanda? Is that something that you give any thought to, that, you know, as technology advances mm-hmm. from generation to generation, you know, more jobs become obsolete? Yeah. Is that something that keeps you up at night?
110%, especially, I think, just coming out of college as well and trying to kind of find, you know, viable career options and viable career paths. I think for a lot of people my age, it's very limited at the moment. And, you know, there is that fear of, you know, almost like AI taking over. I know we're seeing it a lot. We're seeing the replacement of people in supermarkets, in just clothing shops, in everything. Like, they're really being, you know, taken out of a lot of places. And I know there's the argument that, you know, almost replacing people with robots is creating more opportunities. But I think there was almost saying earlier, like, that for every 90% of people that
are losing,
that only like 10% or something of that amount are actually gaining anything. So at the end of the day, like, there is still a net loss and people are still losing jobs, essentially. And, you know, it's really, I want to remain optimistic about having a future in Ireland. I think for a lot of people my age right now, people just out of college, people trying to find career options, you know, it's really looking like emigration almost is the only option. Like, I'm really, it makes it very, very difficult to see a future for yourself almost in Ireland when, you know, a job isn't guaranteed, a house isn't guaranteed, and, you know, like, a future for your children isn't guaranteed either. So
is that something that you've ever given serious thought to, Rizwan, is emigrating, leaving Ireland, working, setting up somewhere else?
I have. I'm only 18, but I have. I moved a lot as a kid, so, like, I know that from my parents emigrating and how difficult it can be, especially in other countries, like, even just risking everything to know a whole different country and moving your life. But I have given a thought of seeing other options in other countries even. So there's a possibility.
You seem far more level-headed than I was at 18 years of age. And I mean that as a compliment and in the nicest possible way, because I certainly hadn't a clue what I wanted to do with the rest of my life at 18 years of age. But is Ireland somewhere that you want to make a home, that you would like to perhaps meet somebody, bring up a family? And do you think that our government, our politicians, have created a space for you to potentially be able to even think about doing that?
The possibilities are there, but there needs to be, again, impacts and change to how we live and how we sustain ourselves, to do with climate, jobs crisis, house crisis, water. Just according to that, there needs to be quick and impacts, like, huge impacts need to be made, like, sooner or later, to even have people stay in Ireland. and not emigrating to other mm-hmm. countries, because I know other countries are, especially EU countries, are getting their game on, and they're doing better stuff for the environment. They know what they want for their houses. They know how they're going to make a change, how they're going to stop sea levels rising and stuff like that, how they're going to like sustain to that. So we need to be quick on that and start listening to scientists, I guess.
Amanda?
Yeah, just to interject there on a point, I think conversations like this are essential. I think for a long period of time, I think politics has been almost out of reach for a lot of young people. And I think this shift that we're seeing now is, you know, young people are really starting to care about a lot of political issues. So I think there is a certain responsibility there then on politicians to also offer out, you know, almost a hand to the younger generation and actually listen to what they have to say. Because I think a lot of young people are being left out of the conversation when it comes to a lot of things. Our opinions are not being taken on board, and we're not being consulted with, you know, decisions that are going to affect us primarily in the long run. So I think there definitely is a huge responsibility on politicians to open the door up in general politics for young people, make it a lot more accessible for young people to be involved and to make the differences that they need to make for themselves, essentially.
We're almost out of time. Zanazi, considering the Trojan work you're doing behind the scenes for the team here at The Last Word on Today FM, I'll give you the last word. Just in relation to that point, do you think your generation's voice is being heard by our government and our politicians? It's easier than ever to communicate with these people, but do you feel like your voice is being heard?
At the moment, no, I don't feel like our voice is being heard. I mean, we are a very strong-headed generation, so we will not give up. But plans do need to be put in place. This is our future. And like I said, these aren't just global concerns. These are not just trends on social media. This is our life, our future, and our children's future. And as Gen Z, or Frank, as you like to call us, Zoomers, our voices do need to be...
I'm a millennial, at least I think I am.
Our voices do need to be heard. And I think I will see a lot of younger people getting into politics. I know myself, I'm kind of politically active, and the two fellow guests are very politically active. So, you know, it's time that we take over, and we are all turning 18 or 19 and 20. So the government has to remember that we will be the ones voting for them.
There you go. And that's an appropriate point to leave this conversation. Zanazi Keogh, Amanda Day, and Rizwan Zahid, thank you all very much.